In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, the fifth Sunday of the Blessed Great Fast, and as we know, this Sunday is known after the man who was laid at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, waiting for someone to help him to get in the water and be healed. And the story is a story of hope for those people, among all of us actually. We have been in infirmity for many years, struggling with our sins, and finding hope in the visit of the Lord to us and coming and giving this man a new beginning after 38 years of struggling and suffering by himself. What struck us in the conversation between the Lord Christ and the man is the question that he asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" It's a very strange question, for knowing that this man has been here suffering for all of these years, definitely the answer, "Yes, I do." But the question is for all of us. We are all struggling with our sins and our weaknesses. We do this, all of us, no exception. But do I want to be made well? People react in one of four different ways. The first one, I am not sick. Why are you asking me? I am doing well. I am okay. This is a common response. When a person says in his mind, "What should I confess for? I really am not doing something that's significant. I'm not really aware of that I have a problem, and then I do not need someone to ask me." The second response is, I want to be made well, yes, but my own way. Meaning, I want to be cured, but I have my own plan. And this person keeps on trying over and over and over and over. And it doesn't work, because there is some kind of convictions, a mindset, some guidelines we should, for us, in order to be healed, we have to follow. The third response is, I do not want to be made well, which is the response of the person who doesn't care. I know that I am ill, I know I have a problem, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. Sadly, this is now becoming a common response for many people. I don't care about God, about His kingdom, it is what it is. The fourth response that we should always respond to, yes, I do, Lord, want to be made well. And today we are going to talk about the convictions of healing. I'm going to speak quickly about 10 convictions that should be in the mind of any individual who really want to be made well the Lord's way, the biblical way, not our own way or the human way of handling issues. The first conviction is the realization. By realization, I mean that I realize that I am ill and I have a problem, and I want to be made well. The issue the church has with the sin of homosexuality, and I'm not speaking about the homosexuals, I'm speaking about the sin itself, is that people, they try to convince us that this is not a sin, it's not a problem, it is something that it is inherited, or I am born with it. We have an issue with this. We don't agree with that. This is the issue. It is like any other sin. Any sin with no repentance will lead the person eventually to perdition. So it is the realization, the first step. Because if I never say that I am struggling, if I'm not saying I'm sinning, then I have no way to change. So this is the beginning of every healing story. I am a sinner and I have a problem, and it is time for me to acknowledge this fact. The prodigal son, the beginning of his return was when he realized that I am perishing, I am from hunger, away from the house of my father. Knowing how much I am indebted, how much I am unworthy, how much I despised and neglected God's grace and mercy. So this is the first conviction on the way of healing, to realize that I am a sinner. The second conviction is the ownership. I am a sinner and it is my problem. It is not the people's responsibility. Imagine if somebody comes from outside now and he speaks blasphemy against God in the midst of the church. And we hear him, all of us, we hear this person. And if I react to this person and I go and I get something and beat him with. If somebody asks me, why did you beat the person? I cannot say that because he spoke blasphemy. No, I beat him because I have a problem. I could not hold my anger. This is the ownership. It is me. Sometimes we try to secure and sterilize the world around us in order for me not to sin. This person gets on my nerves. This person pushes my buttons. This person is causing me to be tempted. As much as we do this, we will never truly address the issue that it is me and I take ownership of my problems. I should start by freeing others of the responsibility of my mistakes. People are only the reason to show me that I have a problem, but it is not them who are causing the problem. A big difference here. Imagine someone who, whenever he eats maybe strawberry, he gets some kind of urticaria or allergy. He cannot work this by saying that strawberry should not be sown or harvested. We should get against this kind of fruit, all of us as a community, because it is harmful. It is not the problem of the strawberry. It is the problem of my body that overreact to this kind of antigen. So this is the second point, the second milestone in the process of healing. The ownership, it is me. It is not him or her or the church or God or anyone around me. It is how I react. It is my problem. The third conviction is what the Lord said, without me you can do nothing. Trying on my own in order for me to be healed will never work. All what I can do is to come to him. As a sick person coming to his physician, no sick person can heal himself. And no person who is covered with dust can clean himself. You need someone else to do this on your behalf. So that's why I'm saying, with no prayer, with no fasting, with no repentance and confession, with no coming to the liturgy, with no realization of my problems, I have no hope for me to be healed. Without him, we can do nothing. Staying away from God and being away from his Bible and saying that I will work things out, I will rely on my will that failed me 100 times before. I will say, I have a plan, I'm going to stop doing this. It will never work. It never worked before with me. It will never work again, if even how hard I try. The fourth conviction is that I am responsible only for the struggle. I am not responsible for the victory. Sometimes we start with eagerness and we try and we fail. And then we get discouraged because I did not attain the results. I have been praying for a while. Abuna, I have been fasting the great fast now for years, but I am still doing the same. It is not your responsibility to heal yourself. You are responsible to keep on struggling and keep on trying. There is a crown called the crown of struggle that Christ will be holding for us. Even if I reach the point where I come to the end of my life and I did not overcome my weakness yet. He is different than anybody else that we deal with. The managers in the world here will deal with us according to the results of our labor. If you don't attain or reach the whatever, like a target, you will never going to be rewarded. But this is not how the case with him. I am responsible only for the struggle. And this gives us hope. I am requested to try every day. And him, he is responsible for delivering me from my trouble. I like this verse, and I always remind myself with it whenever I experience the repeated failure with my mistakes and my weaknesses. It is in Isaiah 14 when the Lord said, "It shall come to pass in the day the Lord gives you rest from your sorrow and from your fear and from the hard bondage in which you were made to serve." It is him who gave us freedom from all of these troubles. The fifth conviction on the way of healing is I have to try to avoid the cause of my weakness. What do I mean by this? If my problem is with the sin of sexual immorality, this is an end. But in order for me to get there, maybe I get there because I have a lot of time, I'm doing nothing. Maybe because I have a bad company and I still keep those kind of friends who are really a source of stumbling for me. Maybe I'm not observing any kind of fast. It is hard for me to fast, and accordingly, I don't say to my appetite, no. All of these are causes and reasons that will get me eventually that I cannot resist the temptation of sexual immorality. In order for us to get there, I have to avoid the beginning. It doesn't make sense that I walk on all of these with no restraint, and I'm not trying, and then at the end, I'm expecting that I will be delivered. This is one of the convictions essential for our healing. Avoid the beginning. Avoid the cause of the trouble. The sixth conviction is to remove the reasons that obstruct the work of grace. If we agree that healing comes from God, that He is the one who is going to cure me, then what obstructs Him from doing so? He wants me cured and I want to be cured. So what is the problem? Sometimes there are issues that obstruct the work of grace. Like what? Like judging others, being not merciful to them. When God will look at this and see me, that while I am struggling with my sins, I still have the ability to judge others and think bad of them and label them. Why should God give me cure? And I get even like better in my status. This will make me more willing to judge people because I feel like I'm superior. I'm better than anyone. Judging others is an obstruction for the work of grace. Being angry is another obstruction and another obstacle. Lack forgiveness, stubbornness and rebellion, being unjust to others, all of these will obstruct the work of grace in my life. And as we go back and I remember the third milestone is, without Him, we can do nothing. If I want Him to be on my side, I have to clear the way from these kinds of obstructions and obstacles. The seventh conviction is not to lean on my own understanding. Sadly, we tend to believe that we know what is right, and we insist on it. And even we can fight with people because we are convinced that I am right. Maybe this needs to change. In order for us to be healed and cured, we cannot lean on our own understanding. We need all to have guidance. Someone to tell me that this is the way, walk in it. We find this even among the most experienced and spiritual fathers in the desert. They still go and ask for guidance. Sometimes we rely on things like, I felt like, or I punished myself, or I thought it is. All of these are just like the self-deception that's very common for us to fall into whenever we lie on our own understanding. People sometimes they debate theology based on I feel like, or this is what I thought. Is this really how God is going to judge us based on how we feel or how we think? Revealing my thoughts and confession. It's time now in the Great Fast that at least we should have met our Father of Confession at least once. If this is not a practice, if I am not even opening up, then what? I am relying on my own understanding to be healed, where this is going to take me. The eighth conviction is struggling for humility. Above all, we know that God gives the grace to the humble, and He resists the proud. We do not want to put ourselves in a position where God is resisting our effort. We want Him to heal us, not to resist us. How we acquire this? Humility is not a virtue that we just can acquire it by meditation. I sit in a corner in my house and say, I think I will be humble, or I will try to be humble. It doesn't work this way. Humility is something we experience through pain, a lot of pain, by the way. What we cause to ourselves is minimal. We do not want to hurt our egos, so dear for us. Even when we maybe serve God and say that, okay, I'm serving Him, this will teach me humility. We are so cautious while serving that we do this with some kind of like honor and dignity not kept. In order for us to be humble, one thing is to confess. Just to humble myself and say, I'm a sinner. Abuna, I have done this. What prevents us from confession is simply is pride, nothing else. Let us admit it frankly this way. If I want to be humble, how can I spare myself the humiliation of confession? It's needed. Fasting is also another way, as the people of Nineveh taught us. Accepting God's will. When we tell God, what are you doing? Why you are doing this? Where is humility in this kind of statement? If I truly want to be humble, thy will be done should be my prayer at all times. And whatever pain and suffering coming to me from others, I should accept it as the way God wants to heal me from the pain of my ego. The ninth conviction, it is the conviction of it is now. It is today. I want to be healed. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not after the fast will come to an end. It is today. And it is now. Hearing St. Paul repeating this in our ears over and over every day. And do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Saying that it will happen whenever I meet with my father of confession in Egypt after I get there, maybe next year. All of this will not get me to be healed. And I'm just like numbing my conscience. Today, if we will hear his voice, let us not harden our hearts. The last, the tenth conviction on the way of healing is the firm hope. No matter what, no matter how far we advanced in sin, we have hope in him. If he allowed me to be alive to this moment and I come to the church today with his grace, this means that he still hopes in me, that eventually I will repent, I will get back to him. Having always this verse as a motto for our struggle, do not rejoice over me, my enemy, and my enemy is my sin. When I fall, I will arise. Let us tell the story of our life in a different way than how Satan wants us to say it. Satan wants us to say the story this way. I struggle and I fail. Then no hope. Let us say it in a different way. I fail and then I rise again. And then I will never lose hope. This makes it the different, the story is so different. A righteous man still falls 7 times and rise again. This is what the Bible says. It is not a saying of a wise person here or there. This is what the scripture is reminding us. The question the Lord asked the lame man on the pool of Bethesda is the question for every one of us today. Do you want to be made well? The first response is, yes, Lord, I want to be made well. I do not know to heal myself. I cannot do it. The third one, to acquire these convictions on the way of healing. Allow grace to work in me in order for me to find cure after long years of struggling. To the Lord always be the glory forever and ever. Amen.